On another front in Tibet's culture wars, police have swept Tibetan markets in recent months, and Chinese state media report that several suspects have been arrested. Their crime? Allegedly downloading to their cell phones music the government considers reactionary. To find out exactly what kind of tunes can get a person thrown in jail, we go now to NPR's Anthony Kuhn, who filed this report from Beijing.
Wasei is a petite Tibetan woman in a cream-colored tunic and silver jewelry, visiting a Buddhist temple on Tibetan New Year's Day. She's one of Tibet's most outspoken authors, and like many Tibetans, she goes by only one name. She's recently been blogging about the hidden world of reactionary ringtones, subversive songs, and dissident downloads.
As soon as this song came out, everyone was very excited, and we all ran down to the markets to listen to it and to buy it, as if it would disappear if we didn't. When it was eventually labeled as reactionary, everyone said, "Oh, it's finally been exposed."
You have endured all sorts of hardship for the sake of the children of the Land of Snows, says this very popular Tibetan song. How can we forget you, whose kindness to us is as deep as the deepest sea? All the children of the Land of Snows pay tribute to you, Ama Jidzun Bema. Until her retirement in 2006, Jidzun Bema ran the Tibetan Children's Villages, a network of schools and orphanages for Tibetan exiles in India. She also just happens to be the younger sister of Tibet's exiled religious leader, the Dalai Lama. Some songs are dead giveaways, Wasei explains. They're usually sung by Tibetan exiles who aren't afraid to sing their god king's name loud and proud. But poet that she is, Wasei prefers another kind of song, which refers to exiled gurus allegorically. The songs usually sound melancholy and express a feeling of loss.
The sun is a traditional metaphor for the Dalai Lama, the moon for the Panchen Lama, and stars for the Karmapa Lama. This song sings how the sun, moon, and stars are no longer in Tibetan lands. The lands are now very dark, and we are sad that we can't see them.
Wasei notes, though, that more militant music is marching onto the Tibetan plateau.
Now a lot of young Tibetans living in the West are adopting Western forms of popular music, such as rap. These kinds of songs may gradually become a stronger voice in the exile community.
The time is running and running. I am getting older and older.
Straight out of Queens, New York, Namgyal Yeshi raps about an onslaught of beggars, thieves, and migrants flooding into Tibet from other parts of China, and of birds, fish, and trees disappearing from the land. But even before digitized music and cell phones arrived in the Himalayan highlands, there was already a tradition of protest music. In 1989, protesters took to the streets of the Tibetan capital, Lhasa. Many sang this tune about the need for Tibetans to unite, regardless of their place of birth or religious beliefs. Wasei says the whole idea of slapping political labels on music is absurd.
Just by categorizing these songs as reactionary, we can see that the thinking of the authorities in Tibet is still stuck in the Cultural Revolution. And the current atmosphere in Tibet of captivity and terror is similar to that era.
There's no public list of banned tunes, Wasei notes. State media reported that police in Tibet detained two suspects last month for reactionary ringtones, but it didn't say which ringtones. Ultimately, a song's reactionary tone may be in the ear of the listener. On the other hand, to an aggrieved singer, even a mellow ballad can blaze like an angry anthem. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Beijing.